the cross of Jesus.
Amen.
It's in the cross of Jesus that is our glory. For if he had not died, we would have no hope. But because he died and because he offered us salvation, we have hope now and for all of eternity. Thank you for being here at Barber's Grove on this rainy, sort of raw Sunday morning. You chose to come. The Lord enables you to come. We're glad that you're here. If there's someone out in the parking lot, we pray that you're blessed as you listen in on the radio, and others that might be listening later on the website. We're so glad that you've chosen to be a part of what God's doing here at Barber's Grove. It's a good day in the Lord. Every day that we can get up and go, it's a good day in the Lord. We have much to be thankful for. We do. We have much to be thankful for. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit. Thank you for guiding and directing our paths. Thank you for forgiving our sin. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for our friends and family and the body of Christ. Thank you for your presence even here this morning. Lord, we thank you that you, as we gather in the name of Jesus, we have that precious, precious presence here with us. Lord, you know our hearts. May each one of us receive from you that which we need. And as you bless us, enable us to be blessings to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. It's a rainy morning, but we can all praise the Lord for a wonderful place to worship. So as we normally do, let's all sing a hymn this morning. Let's turn to page 261. 261, Wonderful Words of Life. Let's sing all three verses as we stand together. You have to get your song books this morning, your hymnals. We're not going to have it on the wall. But I think next Sunday maybe, right, Wes and Jeff? I think we'll be there. Okay, everyone stand, please. Wonderful Words of Life. someone to church this morning. All right. Got a lot to go over this morning, a lot of information for you this morning. But before I do that, I have two cards of thanks I need to share with you. This first one says, "Thank you all for your prayers and calls and cards, and especially to Grant for showing up at the hospital several times with lots of support and snacks." And this is, "Thank you sincerely for sharing our sorrow. Your kindness is deeply appreciated and always remembered by our family," from the family of Jerry Wayne Kelly. Thank you, Carol. And thank you, Grant. You did a good job. I wish he was here, but I'll call him. Wonderful job. The next one is, says, "Dear church family, our dad and all of our family thank you all. The ways you have shown your love and your prayers and your kindness in these past times. We know our dad is singing and celebrating in glory today. What a blessing it is to share this journey with our family here at Barber's Grove." And then it says, "In sympathy, thank you very much, the family of Heath Hahn." Thank you, Lionel. Thank you very much. And I know you'll continue, you and the family will continue to be in our prayers, to be in our prayers for sure. All right, I have follow me in the bulletins, and I have some other things as well. But follow me in the bulletin. The Baptist Home Offering is today. Well, I think it ends today, or does it? Let's see. We go through December. Yes. I think we do go through December. Okay. I thought so. Okay, so we end the day for Baptist Home. Okay, so you got one more chance today to do that, and we're doing pretty well. Samaritan shoe boxes take time for monetary donations for that. And next Sunday will be a call conference of December the 4th for a proposed budget. Now I've been asked to make sure you get one, so someone to come and make sure everyone gets a copy of this. After service, we're going to give it to you after service, and I'll make sure we get that done. So, okay. Christmas card directory. Christmas card directory, the family's Christmas card directory, are available by the mailboxes. Be sure you go by and get the directory and do your cards and have your cards in on time and make your donations based on what it would cost you to have mailed them in the U.S. mail, okay? Now, I'm trying to keep my word, Tony. So we got a chicken stew and oyster stew meal December the 10th. Now, that's kind of in lieu of what we used to do for the senior citizens' Christmas party. What we're doing here is open this up to the entire church, your families, children, your friends and guests. Anybody that wants to come, come on, let's have a time of fellowship together on December the 10th. There'll also be, we'll have some soups made for those of you that don't like stew, and we'll have ham or so. We'll have some things that everybody can eat. So come, let's have a meal together and fellowship together December the 10th here at the church, starting at 6. Our Christmas program this year, this is just to start and let you know what we're thinking here. We'll have an evening of special singing, favorite Christmas stories, children singing. Pastor Ed will have the Christmas story and a message for all. In place of luminaries, I thought Pam gave me this idea, and I think it's an excellent idea. In place of luminaries, we're asking you to bring a small poinsettia in honor of someone you wish to honor, and we will have them displayed in the evening of the 18th. We'll have it all around this building here, and you put the name of the person you wish to honor. I see people sometime when the weather's bad go out in the luminaries and try to find one. Then it's just a tough thing. Not that it wasn't a good idea, it was, but if we got the poinsettias in here, and then by all means, give it to a special friend after it's over, make sure they get it, okay? Now let's talk about the newsletter a little bit, Wes. And Wes has sent you all an email by now letting you know there's a special way he has to go through to get the newsletter. If you want the newsletter, you have to prescribe for it. And that's not Wes's problem, not Wes's doing. It's something that the system requires, right, Wes? And so if you're having problems with it, contact Wes. He'll walk you through it, okay? All right, make sure we do that. And let's see. What have I forgot, Kathy? Is that it?
Boston.
A Boston butt, sounds good. You want to take another shot at that?
Yes. Yes, sir. Don't forget, the Baptist Band or so in Boston Butt, we're going to cook them on December the 30th, and you can come by December the 31st and pick your butt up. And then you can eat them that evening. If you got folks coming over, we'll make your life easy. They're $45. All you got to do is see a Baptist man, and give him how many you want, your telephone number, and a check if you can. We thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it so much. I pick on him way too much, but I do that because I love him, and he knows that too. Anybody else? Anybody else have any announcements anywhere? Yes, Lionel.
Going back to the 18th, what time? 6 o'clock on the 18th?
Yeah, 6, yes. Sorry. I probably did that while I was still on drugs, so you just have to. I was stoned, yeah. David was such a help. I'm saying I laughed about that many times, but not when I was in pain, but I did laugh the rest of the time. All right. Any more? We do have quite a few prayer requests, and we need to share with you all. We need to remember Pam, keep Pam in our prayers. She's still experiencing pain and pain levels that we need to ask her healing with. Let's remember Betty Davis. Betty Davis was entered to the hospital, but she's home now, right, Evan? And they found just one little minor, I think one tube that was not feeding the proper. And so they did find that out. So I think they're going to get her straightened out. She seems to be in good spirits. Anything you want to add to that, Eve? You okay? Everything fine, Evan?
Okay.
Oh, Betty, everything fine there? Yeah, I think. Okay, good. All right. Okay. All right. Tony asked us this morning to remember Josh, his grandson who's having surgery. Let's keep him, lift him up in our prayers. Bobby Williams is also having problems with breathing problems. Let's remember Bobby. He's an old vet for us, and let's keep him in our prayers. Let's remember Jeanette Barbary. Jeanette Barbary lost her sister. Let's remember the family. Jeanette, I know how hard that is, and we'll all be praying for you for sure. Now, are there others that I need to add to the prayer list this morning?
Later.
Yes.
Unspoken.
Okay.
I want to just give a praise report. We had my great-nephew James. He's on our prayer list. We had him for the last 10 days staying with us, and it has been a really good thing.
Good. Anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of life you give us each and every day. And now, Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, as we bring our ask my questions to you, Lord, and our suggestions to you, Lord, and then, Lord, as we come to you and we ask, Lord, but before we ask and before we bring any of that to you, Lord, help us all as our Sunday school lesson remind us again to be thankful. Oh, Lord, for the many things that you've already done for us. Help us, Lord, to know and be thankful always for what you do for us. But today, Lord, we pray a special blessing upon our service today. We thank you for everything, Lord, that's been done and all the blessings you've given us there. But now, Lord, we pray for Pastor Ed as he comes today and as he brings the blessings to us today. But Lord, before we do, I want to be specific, Lord, in our prayer request this morning. I want to pray for Miss Pam, Lord, today, as she is having problems, continuing with problems with pain. I lift her up to you today, Lord. I pray for Miss Betty Davis this morning, and pray for her as she is home convalescing. We pray for her. And Brother Tony, as he's asked for his grandson having surgery, we pray, Lord, for him, and we pray for healing for his body. Bobby Williams, Lord, one of our vets, Lord, we pray for him, and he's having breathing difficulties. We lift Brother Bobby up to you this morning, and we ask for healing. And then for the loss of the loved ones, Lord, we pray for Miss Jeanette this morning as she's lost her sister. We pray and lift her up to you as well. We'll continue to pray for the Heath Hahn family. We pray for the Jerry Kelly family. Continue to pray for all those who have lost loved ones. And now, Lord, as we remember, Lord, there's also an unspoken that we've been asked to lift up before you. And then, Lord, I don't want to be selfish, Lord, but as I journey tomorrow to the doctor, I pray, Lord, for a good report, and that the stone will be gone, and that I can be back to a normal degree of health. Again, Lord, I pray for your will, and your will be done always in my life. And now, Lord, I pray these blessings in your name, and thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings. Amen. I do want to thank you for all your calls and the times that I have been having my problems with that kidney stone. And I don't want to hammer away at something that, but if you've ever had one, you'll know it's one of the worst things you can have in your body. But then I get these calls, and I get these calls from David, and David said, and my dear friend Jeff, and I get all these calls, and are you still stoned? I didn't know it, but that cheered me up. I needed it. And then Jeff calls me up and said, are you still in labor? No. And then our sweet pastor over here, he's got his head down, but he had his time. He said, you had a baby yet, Leonard? All of that, but I ought to say all of that to let you know, thank you very much. Rita did something at Sunday school this morning. And there's a song in what she did in Psalms 103. If you take your Bibles, and if you just let them fall open like that, it'll fall to the book of Psalms. Because it is a book of Psalms, you know? And Psalms 103 has a beautiful verse on it. And I'm going to sing it a cappella to you. I think you've heard this before. Rita's smiling. She knows it already. But if you listen to this, It's about this 103, and I'll read it quickly. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And the song goes like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Right out of the book, isn't it? Sing it with me now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Isn't that a beautiful song? But the words were for us many, many years ago. All right, let's take our hymnals and now stand, and let's sing a song that we will glorify the Lord. And that's page 213. Page 213, they're short verses. Let's sing all four together as we stand. We will glorify. Amen. seated. But before we let the kids go, I want you to know we're in the Christmas season now, so you can tell by all the beautiful decorations here. And children, you can go, but the Christmas time next week, we'll start our Christmas music. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, kids.
You know, if you think back 150 years or so, if you were ill with something not too terribly bad and lived in town, you went to the doctor. Now, if you were really, really ill, or if you lived out of town, that doctor came to you in his horse and buggy. Don't get many doctor house calls anymore. And that country doctor did his best to treat you. Didn't matter what was wrong with you. Based on his education and based on his experience, he did his best to treat you. But it's totally different now, and you know it. You go to your family doctor, and the family doctor may treat you for a few things, but most of the time they're going to send you to a specialist. You're going to go to a urologist, or a gynecologist, or an obstetrician, or a heart doctor, or a pneumonologist, or whatever they call some of the oncologists, some of those other things. Because they specialize in certain things. Well, now it's interesting as you think about studying the cultures of the world and look at their religious practices, how many of those in many places in the world is like our modern medical system. They've got a God for everything. We're going off to war, we pray to this God. We want it to rain, we pray to this God. We want to have some children, we pray to this other God or goddess. We've got this other problem, we pray to this one. You remember when Paul goes to Rome, not Rome, Athens. When Paul goes to Athens, the King James says that he says, "I perceive that you folks are really superstitious." But it really means you're really religious. Because Paul saw statues of various gods and goddesses everywhere he looked as he walked up and down the streets. I've been told that, you just couldn't go down a street or a block that there wasn't a different statue to a different god or goddess. In fact, Paul says, y'all are so into this thing that you're afraid you're going to miss somebody, so you've got a statue to the unknown God. And Paul says, I want to tell you about that unknown God. You see, they believed that their God was powerful in one area, like war or rain, but not powerful in another area. But now you and I, we're believers in Jesus. We believe in the God of the Bible, the great I Am, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. We believe in Him. And when you believe in Him, you don't have to believe in anybody else. In Jesus, we find completeness. In Jesus, we find everything we need for life and afterlife, eternity. You remember in the Gospel of Luke, and we'll look there in just a minute, Jesus is baptized by John. He goes out into the wilderness and he spends 40 days communing with the Father. He's anointed with the Holy Spirit. And then the devil tempts him. And after that, Jesus thoroughly defeats the devil in that temptation, you get to Luke 4, beginning at verse 14. If you want to turn there, Luke 4, beginning at verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue of the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." Several things that's interesting here. One, it says Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He went back in the power of the Spirit. So that means that everything that Jesus said was straight from the throne room of heaven. Jesus wasn't speculating just from a human perspective. He wasn't just saying these things to us, hoping so, thinking so, maybe so. Jesus was saying the reality of these things because of the anointing of the Spirit of God upon him. In other words, you can believe and you can trust in what Jesus said because of its source. Notice also, very interesting, he said he went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the church. He went to church. He went to the synagogue. In other words, Jesus was faithful in his religious duties. He was faithful in worshiping and serving and hearing the word of God. I think it's interesting also that it says they gave him the book and he stood up and he began to read it. You know, sometimes people think that folks back thousands of years ago were ignorant, illiterate. Jesus was reading the word of God. He had learned, he had been trained, he was literate, he could read. But then notice what Jesus began to say, and he began to preach. Jesus said, "Whatever your need is, I can meet it." He says, "I've been anointed, the Spirit of the Lord," verse 18, "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He said, "God's Spirit is on me to proclaim the good news to poor folks." Well, folks can be poor because of their finances. And it's interesting how so much of the time when some folks really hear the gospel, they begin to prosper. Well, if you're not wasting your money on alcohol, if you're not wasting your money in other ways, and God has promised, "Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over, shall men give into your bosom." If you study, especially here in America, but in other places, church history, it's amazing how many moves of God started on the wrong side of the tracks. Poor folks. But they got a hold of the gospel. And the next thing you know, they're sitting on padded pews. They moved uptown. They moved across the tracks. I mean, you look at the history of Methodist. You look at the history of Baptist. You look at the history of Independent Baptist. How many of those churches and those movements, you look at Charismatics. How many of those movements started with folks who were poor? And they got a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ and they began to prosper. And now you go, Baptist churches, most of them, pretty nice. Methodist churches, most of them pretty nice. Assembly of God or charismatic churches, pretty nice buildings. He says, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. But you know, people can be poor in other ways than just finances. You can have a poor self-image. Oh, woe is me. I've shared with you before that the last year we were in Oklahoma, I did a lot of substitute school teaching. And there's one class I was in about 7 or 8 times. And it's what, first grade. And here's this little boy. He's a nice looking boy. I mean, he's a commercial looking boy. I mean, he could be on commercials. He's a nice looking kid. And the last day I was in there, he says, you know, my dad says that we're losers, that we'll always be losers. We'll never amount to anything. And I'm thinking, you poor kid. Now, in the flesh, I want to go home and slap his dad, but you know, you don't do that. But here's a kid with a poor self-image. And he needs to know God loves you. God wants to make something out of you. God wants to bless you. And what a wonderful thing it is when we come to the realization, I'm special to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. Jesus said, I've come, and if you've got a poor self-image, if you think you're worthless and useless and no good, if you think you'll never get ahead spiritually, I've got good news for you. Your Heavenly Father invites you to be a part of his family. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. It doesn't matter where you began. Jesus said, I have good news for you. You can become a child of the King. And that's great. Doesn't matter where we start from, we can be somebody special. Then he says, I have come. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How many times and how many ways in a lifetime are our hearts broken? Death of our parents, death of brothers or sisters, death of a spouse, a financial loss. How many times? And it's not just a one-time thing. We go through a period, and things are great, and then we go through periods of heartache and brokenheartedness. And Jesus says, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, bring your broken heart to me. I think back to that Old Testament story of David and his men. They had been out from Ziklag, you know, which was their headquarters. And they came back to find that the enemy had come in and had taken their wives and their children and all of their stuff. And everybody began to mourn and cry and carry on. And they said, you know, if we hadn't been out following David, we wouldn't be in this mess. We'd have been here to protect all that we had. And they said, you know, maybe we need to kill David. But the scripture then says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David called upon the Lord, the one he had walked with as a shepherd boy, the one he had walked with when he had killed Goliath, the one who had walked with when Saul had tried to kill him. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Jesus said, listen, if your heart is broken, bring it to me and allow me to bring healing. Then he goes on to say, to preach deliverance to the captives. All people can be captives to sin, captives to alcohol, captives to drugs, captives to bad lifestyle choices. I was thinking, when I think about that, I think about what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paul says, when we were lost, this is Ephesians 2. Paul says, when we were lost, we were captives of the devil. We belonged to him. We belonged to his kingdom. He is the one that led and guided and directed our lives. And then he goes on to say the good news. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I've come to deliver you from captivity. And it's amazing when you see somebody who's so bound up in sin, so bound up in lostness, so bound up in the devil's work, and then all of a sudden, they get saved. And they're set free. They're set free. Praise the Lord that Jesus came to do that for us. And he goes on to say, the recovery of sight to the blind. Well, now we know that whenever Jesus walked the face of the earth, he healed a lot of blind folks. He opened a lot of physical blind eyes spiritually. But you know, he can open our eyes spiritually as well as physically. You remember the phrase, there are none so blind as those who will not see? Not cannot see, but will not see. It's interesting as you read through the Gospels, the battles that Jesus had with the Pharisees, the scribes, the Pharisees, those that were learned in the law of God. I mean, they could quote you the Old Testament word for word in many, many places. Some of them, maybe every verse. But somehow or another, their spiritual eyes were blind and they couldn't see that this scripture described Jesus and this scripture described Jesus and this scripture described Jesus. They just didn't get it. But you know, the wonderful thing is, he opens the eyes of those who want to see. I mean, Paul says if he can open my eyes, he can open anybody's eyes. If anybody was blinded to the truth, it was the Apostle Saul who became the Apostle Paul. He could not get it. I mean, we've got to wipe out these Christian folks that say they follow Jesus. We've got to wipe them all out, kill them all, throw them all in jail. And suddenly on the road to Damascus, Paul could see. He had an encounter with Jesus that opened his blind eyes. I refer to him often, but John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, such a debauched, sinful, evil man, but God opened his eyes. And how does he say? I once was blind, but now I see. Was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus said, I've come to open your blind eyes. And then he says, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amplified Bible translates that oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. He says, you know, if life has treated you rough, I'm here to set you free. And many of us, most of us, from time to time, have said, man, I don't know how much more of this I can take. I just feel like I've been battered and bruised and broken. And Jesus said, hey, I can set you free. Now, in every one of these cases, we take it to the Lord. Now, if we sit there and nurture it and mull over it and meditate on it and let it make us sour and bitter and angry, we can be miserable. But no matter what our situation, if we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come into that situation and to do in that situation the healing that only He can give, we're blessed. And then in verse 19, he says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now I understand, you remember in the Old Testament, God told them that every 50 years they were to have the year of Jubilee. And I understand that this, the acceptable year of the Lord, is a phrase that was used to sort of announce that's next year. What happened on the year of Jubilee? You got your land back. If you were a servant, you got set free. If you'd had, you know, if you got poor and you had to sell yourself into servitude, you got set free. You got God's blessings. Didn't even have to plant crops because God would supernaturally make the crops grow so that you didn't have to work that year. It was a year of celebration. Jesus said, I want to come and let you know there's some good news. God's got a blessing for you. God's got some wonderful things for you. God wants to bless you, wants to care for you. Now, a lot of these other religions, as I said, they have to have a lot of different gods. We just have to have Jesus. We just have to have Jesus. He came to meet all of our needs. What's your need today? If we went around the room, most of you could stand up and say, here's my need. And it's some one of these things that I described. Jesus said, I've come to meet that need. He said, this day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, Jesus said, I've come to bless you. I've come to meet your need. And we need to run to Him. Run to Him. And allow Him to meet all of our needs. He said it. As we read the Gospels, we know He did it. And God is no respecter of persons. He still is doing it. Whatever our needs, He meets our needs. Now this morning, as we come to an invitation time, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. If there's other decision you need to make, would you come? If you're here and you feel battered and bruised and broken and brokenhearted, take it to Jesus. He knows and He understands. Thank you. Okay. Before I have the benediction, there's something I need to share with you. Most of you know that this week Pam had a PET scan, and several of you asked me how that went. It didn't go well. The doctor said that her cancer had spread, and that's the reason for her pain. Now, doctor was wearing one of those masks, and she had it so tight, I couldn't even hardly see her lips move, you know. So I had trouble understanding everything that was said. But the doctor indicated there's some treatments that she wants to give Pam. And we were waiting on hospitals to call. I mean, it's, you know, the medical system just baffles me. And we went to a doctor at one place, and, you know, and you got Atrium and you got Novant and everything. And the doctor says this PET scan that she had says they won't pay it for it. Insurance won't pay for it at our hospital. You got to go to another place to get this PET scan. I mean, what's the deal? And so Pam's waiting on calls about where and when and the treatment. So pray for her and for me. And also, that everything will work out according. We still trust in the Lord. We're still coping pretty well, and knowing that the Lord's in our lives, have been in our lives for 70 some years, and He's not going anywhere. So, but I do want you to know and not to be stressed and be understanding that some Sundays she'll come or Wednesday night she'll come, depending on how she's feeling, and then others she may not. The doctor said this treatment would take away a lot of that pain, but until she gets it, she's still in the pain. So just wanted you to know that. Okay.
Could we stand and have prayer for her?
Okay. You going to lead us, Lionel?
Yes, I'll put it on Jeff. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we have heard your message through your servant Ed. We have felt your presence, and we need your power, Lord. We pray that you would go at this very moment, Father, and touch Pam right where she is sitting or laying. Fill her mind and her body, dear Lord, with your presence. Father, if it be your will, Father, that you would prepare the days ahead for healing, whether it be through the caregivers or through your saving grace, Father, that you bring comfort to her. Father, we love you, we love her, we love Ed, we love everything, dear Father, that you bless us with in these years that you have blessed us with Ed and Pam. Father, just pray that somehow, Father, in ways that we don't understand, that you would heal her body. If it be your will, Father, to give her that joy of knowing it at this very moment. Father, I thank you for each body that's hearing these prayers in this building, those that are hearing it over the web, or those who are in the parking lot, Father, that you would touch the lives of each and every one of us, Lord, that we may be ever more mindful, Father, that you are the one that is the healer and the physician. You know how to take care of each of us, Father. Now we just give ourselves to you, Father. Yes. You bless us with each of these lives, Father. We know this is only temporary. Help us to understand the ways, Father. Be with Pam, Father. Touch her life, Father. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with the gifts that you give us each and every day of life and all of God's people. Say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.